you do teach a number of great male players as well, and Morgan Hoffman, a good friend of our show, among others. But it does seem like your specialty is in the LPGA side, and I just wondered if that is something that evolved, or is that something that you did by design? What is it about the ladies?
Oh, well, you know, when I started the Academy for IMG in Bradenton, you know, I started to recruit, you know, players, and then Paula Kramer came along, and then I went to Hawaii when I heard of the Big Wheezy, and so I spent 2 years with Michelle Wee when she was 14 and 15. So during those 2 years, I got to meet a lot of, you know, lady players on the LPGA Tour, and then from there, it started to blossom, and I started to really, you know, start supporting more of the girls on tour, and then I started, you know, teaching Nicole Perrott from Chile, who won once. And, you know, a lot of these girls started when they were 13, 14, and some won U.S. amateurs, some won U.S. juniors, and then they started to turn pro. And then I got to teach Suzanne Patterson, you know, where she won 5 times and won major in that year that I spent with her. And then from there, I started teaching Yanni Ting, and then when Yanni won 22 times in 2 years, and then it just starts to evolve.
That's quite an evolution, let me tell you. That is fantastic. And I would guess just word of mouth. I mean, if you do a great job with one player, they're going to promote you, I suppose, and you're standing alongside other great players as you travel to some of these events, and it just happens.
Well, it's not about how much talent you have as a coach. You need to be talented at listening.
Yeah.
You know, so you spend a lot of time listening to them and figuring, you know, what they really need to build the confidence that is needed to go to the next level. And so, you know, most of the time it's really getting to simplify their process and giving them a practice plan that they start building confidence in. And so, and then from there I started teaching guys on the European tour, and then I started, you know, like Peter Hansen, Peter Hedblom, and there's another guy, Fabrizio Zanotti, that I taught. And so at the same time, I was trying to run junior academies, which we had like between 80 and 120 kids from all over the world. And I would have a staff of like 12 instructors, 2 mental coaches, 2 fitness trainers, and then dealing with the parents. And so, you know, it was an unbelievable experience, you know, sitting with parents, listening to them, and then taking these students where, like, I met Morgan Hoffman when he was 14, and then watch him go to Oklahoma State University, and now he's a professional.
Yeah, hey, Gary, you know, Frank Darby here. I got to see you up close and personal when I used to host an event down at Mission Inn. It was just a great, great job you did down there with all the kids. But it's pretty interesting when reading about you. So just dealing with everybody, all their little intricacies, and everybody's a little bit different. Wow, it's got to be hard just keeping track. What is a normal day at, like, say, the first round of a U.S. Open, Women's Open look for you? What do you do?
Well, you know, again, it starts before, you know, usually, like, I'm more than a coach than an instructor. So when the girls come up here, I try and keep them around for 6 hours during the day. So we go through every part of their game. So by the time I get to a tournament, you know, now it's between the player and their caddy, and how they work on their strategy. And basically, most of the time, I'm there in case something happens where they need to work on their putting after a round, if they're not happy with their chipping, they're not happy with their ball striking. So for me, I would say one of my biggest strengths is the mental game.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we're talking about Sergio Garcia. I mean, I met Sergio Garcia at 13 when he played in a tournament at IMG. And then you could see in his career how he started to get really, really emotional. And it's only in the last 2 years has he been able to manage his emotions and stop the crying and the blaming.
Yep.
And you can see that in this last tournament, you know, just through the Ryder Cup, how he stayed strong, how once you pass all the mental tests, then the game will give you a major.
Yep.
And you can look at Jordan Spieth and Ricky Fowler. Look at, they fell apart in this Masters, but they didn't fall apart and cry about it. They took responsibility and they move forward.
Yeah,
Sergio spent many, many years, you know, showing too much emotion and blaming the world. and it was great to watch him win.
Yes, it was nice, and we talked about that earlier in the show, where he just has a different level of acceptance and patience and, frankly, maturity. I thought he just showed a very mature side that finally emerged here in the final round last Sunday. That's what led to him wearing a green jacket.